Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our website is filled with more encouraging interviews, all accessible at myfaithradio.com.
It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here every weekend. We're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us. Chris Weigel is off this weekend, and we have a very special guest. You are not going to be disappointed. Welcome, Dr. Fred de Blasio.
Glad to be here.
Fred is a friend and a fellow academic who has spent years studying forgiveness.
More than I want to reveal.
You and I have had some interesting conversations about that, because when you began studying this, nobody wanted to publish your work
exactly,
on forgiveness.
Exactly.
What do you think that was about?
I think, especially in the secular world, it was tied so closely to religiosity for them that they decided that you can forget, but they don't want to talk about forgiving.
But they somehow have come around. This is a hot topic now in psychology and even in the secular world. You were way before
the window's open right now, but I don't know how long it'll be open.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. de Blasio. He's a licensed clinical social worker. He's a professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Maryland, Baltimore. He's a noted author, a researcher, and a therapist, and he is known for his writings on forgiveness and his clinical work on that. Dr. de Blasio's work in forgiveness treatment has received attention in national newspapers, in magazines. He has articles in Psychology Today. He's been featured on ABC's 2020 and Good Morning America. In addition, he serves on the board of the International Forgiveness Institute. He's a fellow believer, which is why we love him and we love having him come on. And so he approaches the topic of forgiveness from a biblical perspective. And as we approach the holiday season, this is usually a time that means more family, more friends, more coworkers. It also means sometimes more alcohol, more problems, more closeness, more intimacy that people maybe don't especially like, and means we have more opportunities to get offended.
Exactly.
And do you see an uptick in this around the holidays?
Oh, yeah. First of all, there's a lot of alcohol drinking, which is a depressant. A lot of people are getting depressed. They're not eating right. They're coming into that situation. But also, there's a lot of old wounds that haven't been forgiven. And these old wounds, even though you may not talk about them, they keep playing themselves out in your relationships as you see people on the holidays.
So when you come into the family, it's almost like we become whatever age those wounds started. I wrote an article one time, when you drive up into the family driveway, suddenly you're 10 years old again. And your brother is still the bully, and your mom is being controlling, and your dad isn't talking to you. Whatever the issues are, we have this tendency to revert to those places, don't we?
Exactly.
These wounds can start to play a role as you get together in holidays, which is why we want to talk about this today. We want to give you some equipping to go into the holidays. Give us a very basic definition of what forgiveness is.
Well, the way I've been approaching forgiveness and the way I read it in the scripture, it really is a decision you make. Mm. It's not necessarily how you feel. You can start with feeling hurt feelings, perhaps, but God gave you the ability to forgive instantaneously. In fact, unforgiveness is discussed in the Bible, and it puts it alongside sins like murder and infidelity and idolatry. So it's very important that one take a close look. If you think you're being unforgiving, you have to ask yourself, how biblical is my unforgiveness?
Now, here's what I hear a lot from trauma people. I hear a lot of times the people that work in trauma say, don't tell me to forgive. How dare you? Because you don't understand the depth of what has happened to me. What do you say to someone like that?
Well, first of all, this violation like that is so incredibly hurtful, and it does get to the core of the person, and you have to be very empathetic. But at the same time, you have to look at the one person who really has the answer on forgiveness, and that is Jesus. Jesus in the scripture is over 24 interpersonal forgiveness scriptures.
Yeah.
And most of them involve Jesus and his attitude and position on forgiveness.
And he certainly is someone who suffered trauma.
Exactly.
And abuse.
Even
and
while he was being nailed to the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
Now one can argue and say, well, I'm not Jesus. But aren't we supposed to be moving in that direction to be more and more like Christ and to follow what he wants us to do?
I'm guessing that you know Robert Enright. Is that the forgiveness board that,
yes.
that I read
yes.
in the intro for you? I love his definition. I've been using this definition when I teach. What he says is, forgiveness is the foregoing of resentment or revenge when the wrongdoer's action deserves it, and instead giving the offender gifts of mercy, generosity, and love, or benefits when the wrongdoer does not deserve them.
Right.
I love that definition.
Very nice, and it really highlights the scripture that says mercy is more powerful than justice.
But I think there is this real feeling in the culture, and I've heard it even creeping into the church, that if the offense was very, very deep, do not tell me to forgive somebody, and certainly don't tell me to do it instantaneously.
It's very, very hard, but eventually, if you're really looking for truth, truth is not always going to be something that agrees with your human nature.
Yeah. And in fact, it goes against that, because our human nature says retaliate, hold on to resentment, be offended. And I think that's the whole point of the gospel, isn't it?
Exactly.
To try to deal with what this darkness is in our heart.
We all have to realize that we all deserve hell, that we all have sin, that just because your brother may have sinned horribly against you, even worse than you've ever done in your life, just your little white lies that you've told is enough to separate you from God. And God in his mercy chose to put you in a cloak that is going to hide all of that, and that he, through Jesus, accepts you, and that your destiny is heaven.
Yeah. We had a question from a listener. Let's listen to that question. Let me have you respond.
I feel like I've forgiven the individual for what they've done to me, but they haven't accepted my forgiveness. So is that really forgiveness?
Very good question. Yes, when a person forgives, they don't need the blessing of the person who was the offender towards you. If you've forgiven them and they say, well, I don't accept your forgiveness, or you're in a position where, say, for example, a person dies, it's still forgiveness.
When you're talking about that, there's a difference there, because you're saying forgiveness is an individual act. It's
yes.
something that you do, which is very different than reconciliation.
Forgiveness is in your heart. When I say heart, I'm not talking about the thing that beats. I'm not even talking about your emotions. Heart in the scripture, the cardia, they used the Greek word, means your whole being, your intellect, your mind, your feelings. And what we're finding out more and more neurologically is that your brain is capable of doing that.
If you make that decision.
Your brain is capable of making decision despite what your feelings are.
If you forgive somebody, according to the question the person asked, and even if they don't accept it, that is still you exercising forgiveness towards that person.
Exactly.
Correct? When we do that, are there some things that are just unforgivable that people do?
From our human standards, the answer would be yes. Mm. But according to the standards of Christ, the answer is no.
Have you seen clinical examples of that, where people in horrific situations have made a decision to forgive?
Oh, yes. And you have to remember that when you do that, it's not only a rightful thing to do, but there are crowns in heaven that get bestowed upon you, and you'll wear that proudly in heaven one day. God will dry every teardrop in heaven, and everything you do here on earth to follow after him will be rewarded in heaven. When you look at it on a time span, yes, there's going to be perhaps a number of years before that occurs, but that will occur. It's for sure, and it's in the scripture.
And we don't always think eternally like that. We think in the moment sometimes, and there's such an emphasis on being in the moment. But as Christians, we also have to think of eternal rewards.
Exactly, and when you're unforgiving for the unforgivable in your mind, you actually start to change. In many ways, you become a little more hardened. You become a little less connected with your faith. Your prayers eventually will get hindered before God, who's asking you to forgive everything.
I want to talk a little bit about what unforgiveness does to the physical body as well when we come back. So stay with us. We're talking about forgiveness as you move into the holidays, and you might be encountering family members who have been difficult in your life. What is the role of forgiveness? What is expected of you as someone who serves the Lord? We're going to talk more about that after the break.
Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcasts on the MyFaithRadio.com website.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. Well, you are listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and during this holiday season, we decided to take on a topic that I think relates to most of you listening, and that is when we have family together, when we're dealing with Christmas parties and all kinds of holiday events, lots of opportunities to get offended. And so we're talking about forgiveness today. I've got my special guest, Dr. Fred de Blasio, who really is an expert in this area of forgiveness. He's been studying forgiveness for over 20 years. He's up on the research. He knows how forgiveness affects us and what it does. But more importantly, he's a believer and he understands the power of forgiveness according to the scriptures and what that does to a person. Dr. Fred, we're going to start with another question from a listener.
So does forgiving someone mean I've got to forget how they hurt me?
Oh, an excellent question, because we've been debating that for centuries. Does this forgiveness equal forgetting? Well, let me make it perfectly clear that your brain is built to hold information. So no, forgiveness can't be forgetting, because obviously your brain has that memory. And it's stored in a part of your brain that's not in your limbic system, interestingly. If you keep referring to it, and coming and bring it down into the emotional level, then it riles up the feeling level again. But forgiveness really does mean a decision that you are going to let go of bitterness and resentment and move on and not let that be the focus of your emotional attention.
I was thinking of the scripture in Philippians that says, think on these things. And it's the positive things. It's not think on how that person hurt you again.
Yeah.
I do notice with myself and also the clients that I've worked with over the years that if you choose to forgive and you don't continue to go back and ruminate on that event that happened, over time, that event has less power.
Exactly.
So that's really the issue, is that it's not that you have forgotten it, but you don't have the same emotional reaction to what happened, correct?
Exactly. Your brain takes all this into account. And there's a part of your brain that stores memories in your limbic system that gives you implicit reactions to be using in the future. When someone offends you, you really learn something.
So it's really important to renew the mind and to do what the scripture says in terms of that. Let's talk a little bit about what happens physically to somebody when they hold on to unforgiveness.
First of all, it begins to change you, and it begins to change you spiritually. In addition to that, you begin to release a lot of cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone that your brain tells you to release. And cortisol really is not your friend.
Yeah,
cortisol
damaging.
Is great when you need to get out of a burning building, because it dulls your thinking and it keeps you focused on surviving. But if you're constantly in a cortisol arousal, then your brain structures can be shrinking. Over time, they will shrink. Your cortisol can decrease your immune system. It's involved in arthritis. It can involve in migraines, sleep deprivation, chronic fatigue. I mean, the list goes on and on. Hypertension. It's not a very healthy thing to hold on to unforgiveness.
I'm thinking also about coronary artery disease, that there's
a
connection between that as well. And interestingly, that the number one predictor of heart disease in men is hostility. When you hold on to something that you are really angry about and you are not going to let go of that, you're putting yourself at risk for a heart attack.
Right. And the sad part about it is you have the original offense, which hurts you. Now you're doing something to yourself by allowing your brain to feed on this negativity, shooting off cortisol. You become hardened.
Physically, we know it does damage. What does it do to the relationships that you have with people when you hold on to unforgiveness?
Well, obviously, if you're constantly in that state of dwelling in the past, you've not forgiven their sin, then it's almost impossible, especially for a Christian relationship with another Christian, to go on. Sometimes, though, I do believe, as Paul and Barnabas had to do, they had to split their ministry because they were getting a little bit cantankerous with each other. So there are times when you do. You may not keep a friend for life.
Why is it so hard for us as Christians to actually say to somebody, I forgive you? Why do we have such a difficult time with that?
It's because we believe we have control over their behavior. Now, let me explain that.
Okay.
If you say you forgive someone, then it's almost like telling them, it's okay for you to offend me.
Mm.
And that's so against our grain.
Yeah.
But people have to realize that you can forgive somebody and still have some boundaries, especially with a Christian. We're called to do that, iron sharpening iron. We're supposed to help others to not let them offend you in that way.
Are we minimizing the offense when we forgive somebody? Are we saying it wasn't that big of a deal?
You're maximizing the high road when you do that. You're maximizing the walk of Christ in that situation.
I always say to people, why would you have to forgive if it was no big deal? Why is it so hard? Because it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And the Christian has the Holy Spirit to help mm-hmm. with this whole thing.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You got all those gifts of the Holy Spirit, none of which have to do anything with unforgiveness.
I think that's important for us to remember that if all of Christ is in us, then the power of the Holy Spirit in us helps us to do things that are not natural.
Yeah.
And so I know it's not natural. I've been hurt by people in my past where I feel like the most unnatural thing is to look at them and say, you're not asking for forgiveness, you want to retaliate, but I choose to forgive you. That is not a natural reaction of the person.
Right, and especially as our society is progressing, as we're going to talk about in the next section, we're becoming a very narcissistic society.
You have this decision-based forgiveness model that you've developed. Walk us through the steps on that. What is that, and then what are the steps of that?
First of all, it's a very long process that I do with clients. It's going to be too hard to explain in the radio show, but there's 13 steps to it. The first step is to get them to define forgiveness and how they define it, but eventually in the first three steps, we really are after them to get something that they feel responsible for that they want to bring to the table, not what the other person wants mm. them to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we have everyone take a turn being accountable for what they want to do. A beautiful thing happens, especially with Christians, when you do that. People will take accountability for mm. their situations, unless they're very disturbed, which we do have sometimes. But most people will pick the very thing the other person would have said. But a lot of times therapy is about finger pointing. Mm-hmm. You did this to me.
Yeah.
Why did you do this to me? That puts the person in a defensive mode. And then everybody begins to have this survival mechanism going on. Their hearts are racing, cortisol is shooting, and it's not a very safe environment.
Yeah, yeah.
I try to make the environment safe for people to walk through these stages. I'm crazy about scripture because I feel like I've got
that.
All my research answers there. And I don't have to do a lot of research. I go to the scripture, although I do research.
Yeah.
But there, I believe it's possible for a human being not to ever be in a state of unforgiveness. And that you can forgive the most horrendous thing. So when you start from that premise, mm-hmm. then it's amazing because you don't need a timeline. Let me give you an example. If you're very unforgiving, say to a father you hadn't seen in 10 years, and you get a phone call that dad is dying and is at the hospital, and his last request is to see you before he dies, I will bet you so much money that all of a sudden you will rapidly go through your stages before mm-hmm. you get to that hospital room.
Yeah. I'm going to wrap it up before we go to a break because I looked at your model and I love your model of forgiveness. You break it up into three areas where you're defining the forgiveness like you talked about, preparing yourself, then seeking and granting forgiveness is the second group of steps. And then lastly, to design a ceremonial act to celebrate forgiveness and that you've done this. That's kind of the model in a nutshell from Dr. Fred. If you want more, I'd encourage you to go to his writings. He has a lot of publications on forgiveness. And as you can hear, he's got the heart of Christ in all of this. So he really brings this down to the scripture. Well, we're going to talk more about that spiritual part of forgiveness and the importance of doing that more after the break with Dr. Fred de Blasio.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
What do Thomas Jefferson, Agatha Christie, Pope John Paul II, and Princess Diana have in common? Well, these notable individuals and many others, past and present, share the habit of journaling. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda, the relationship doctor, and I've got some tips for you on the value of journaling. Whether you're just writing down a few thoughts or pouring out your heart on paper, journaling has some real benefits, like getting a handle on your emotions or a better understanding of other people or even organizing your priorities. Sometimes reading your older journal notes will help you appreciate the sweet little details of life you enjoyed but maybe have forgotten. One of the best benefits of journaling comes when you look back and you see how the Lord has been there in all your circumstances, directing your steps and taking care of the things that matter to you. If you've not considered journaling before, give it a try and see which of those benefits journaling might bring your way.
If you want to learn more about lasting relationships, visit Dr. Linda Mental's Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today I have a special guest, Dr. Fred de Blasio. Hope you've been listening because we're talking about forgiveness and the importance of that during this holiday season as we meet with family and friends. I want to get a little bit more at another question that a listener had. So let's begin with that and listen to what this person is asking.
The Bible says to forgive 70 times 7. But what about a brother who continues to offend you or sin against you and does not repent?
Okay.
That's a real tough one. But first, let me say a little thing about 70 times 7. What's interesting is that's Jesus' response to Peter. But one time I was looking through the scripture and I said, you know what, that sounded familiar. And I did find it again in Daniel, when Daniel basically divides everything up into 70 times 7 to when the death of Christ will occur. And the final, last 7 years are thought yet to come, which would be the 7 years of trial and tribulation.
Yeah.
And then it says after that time, there'll be no need for things like forgiveness, because the lion will lay down with the lamb and the king will be the king and we'll be in heaven in glory. So I personally think, although theologians can disagree with us, Jesus was giving a message to Peter that forgiveness was something that you always did and will be needed until the end time.
Wow. I have never heard that with the Daniel part of that. The listener was saying, if the person continues to offend you, do you still have to do this?
There's a lot of misunderstanding about constant offense, especially between Christian to Christian, because I do believe the scripture teaches us to go to our brother in Matthew 18.
Matthew 18, yeah.
If your brother sins against you, go to him and let him be won over by your love. But if that doesn't work, take another with you as a witness and try to win your brother over. If that doesn't work, then you go to the church. And if that doesn't work, it basically says the church has the right to excommunicate or to put aside the person until they reach that place. When you put that scripture along with the 70 times 7, it's more respectful for me if someone is sinning against me and I'm hurt and that person is doing me wrong. I'm actually building them up by confronting them and saying, look, you really are doing this sin. Of course, I'll always forgive you. I have no control over you. My forgiveness has no control over you. A lot of Christians put forgiveness and control together.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they say, I forgive, they feel like they do that, they lose control of the other person. The fact is, you've already lost control because you don't have control of another person. If someone steals from me and steals from me and steals from me, and I had regular meetings and was trying to mentor that person, I probably will stop inviting them to my house. And I'll meet with them at Starbucks, perhaps, but not in my home. So you could set some boundaries around people who constantly offend you. But eventually, you can part ways with someone because it's very unhealthy. If you think about it, you're a temptation in that point if they keep sinning against you in the same type of way. But the answer is yes, 70 times 7, all the way to the end times. We are built, our brains are even built for it, that we should decide to forgive no matter how many times it occurs against us.
This gets really dicey with family relationships, and I wrote a book called I Love My Mother But, which dealt more with mother-daughter relationships. And I hear often from people, my parent hasn't changed, and they continue to be rude to me, controlling, critical, whatever. Do I need to continue to forgive that person? And do I stay in relationship with that person? And I don't know what you feel about that. I feel like you need to keep trying, that you need to control your reaction to that person, setting boundaries, not letting them continue to hurt you.
Well, setting boundaries in love, that's a big piece that we often miss. See, I have a lot of personal experience with this with some of my family members.
Okay.
My mom and dad are deceased right now, but they have personality disorders, and it was very important for me to continue to love them.
Mm.
If they kept doing something that was offensive to me, I would say, well, Dad, you're doing this again. And if you keep it up, I need to leave now, but I'll call you tomorrow. It's something that I have to do for myself. When an adult child, for example, gives up control over the parent and sets a boundary in love and then follows through in love, love does conquer.
I love what you're saying.
It says love breaks bones.
And you're saying that you continue to love, which means you're still trying to have that connection. But it has to be based on them not continuing to do bad things to you.
Exactly.
You and I know from our work and family work, we call it separate but attached. So we're holding our own in the relationship, but we're also saying, I do desire this. But I can't have it if you're going to be hurting me all the time. But you keep extending the olive branch is how I look at that. Would you agree that you keep making the effort, but you have to keep setting those boundaries?
You set the boundaries, and you set boundaries on things you can control. So in other words, to have a person not do something, you can't control that.
Okay.
But you can control whether or not you'll stay present, for example, while something's occurring.
Yeah. We have one other caller who has a question for us. Let's listen to this.
My question about forgiveness comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Right after the Lord had finished teaching on the Lord's Prayer and speaking to his disciples, he said, "And if you forgive others that offend you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you do not forgive your brother who has sinned against you, then your Father will not forgive you." So my question is, are there sins that we'll still be held accountable for, even though we're saved?
That's a very hard question. But first, let me put it in the context a little bit. Remember, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And of all the things in the Lord's Prayer, he's coming back to forgiveness.
Yeah, he is.
And I asked a lawyer about this one time, an atheistic lawyer, which was very interesting. I said, this is very legalistic of Jesus, because he's making a very clear statement here. And he looked at it and he said, what Jesus is doing, which I was encouraged by because he referred to Jesus as a present
as a person,
being,
yeah.
That what he's doing, in law we call this a double ending in contract law. And a double ending closes loopholes, he said. So you say something forward, your Father in heaven will not forgive you, or your Father in heaven will forgive you if you forgive your fellow man. But then in verse 15, she's mentioning, it comes back and closes a loophole and says that basically there's no other way that your Father will not forgive you if you do not forgive your fellow man. It's very interesting. It's a very ironclad scripture he was telling me. And I started thinking about all the other things Jesus said. I am convinced that Jesus means what he means, that we are to be forgiven. So I can't answer the listener's question, but I can say for me, and as much as I can my house, we want to be in a state of constant forgiveness, because unforgiveness is listed in the scripture as sin. It's horrible. It really affects us. We discuss how it affects us spiritually in our body. I want to make sure that I am clear of sin. In terms of how it relates to ultimate salvation, each one of us is going to have to walk that road. But for me, it's very clear for me. I can't let unforgiveness rule over me.
Well said. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. We're going to have to end our conversation there. So many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our post-producer, Chris Underation, our social media director, Cody Gokenhauer, our engineer, Linnell Fuller. And thanks, of course, to you, Dr. Fred de Blasio, who has wonderful writings on forgiveness, has worked hard in this area in terms of helping us understand, and obviously comes at this from a biblical perspective. Thank you for all the wonderful work that you're doing. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.